Well, good morning, everyone, and can I have you turn back, please, to the passage which Stephen read from earlier, Jeremiah 17. Just open your Bible up there, and we'll be considering a few verses from this chapter this morning. Can I thank Reverend Abernathy and the session here for the opportunity to come and to take the services today, and also Stephen for leading and testifying in the service and leading proceedings thus far in the service. Before though we come to look at this chapter together, would you please stand with me just for a brief word of prayer? Change your positions before we begin the message, and let's look to the Lord for his help. Let's pray. Almighty God, as we still ourselves now in thy presence, we ask for that stillness to come upon the house now. And with the word open before us, as we come to consider it, give us that focus, that attentiveness to the word this morning, with open hearts that we might be spoken to, we might be challenged by the words of the Lord today. Speak to those who need comfort. Challenge those who need challenged. Convict those who aren't saved. Whatever the need is, meet it by the Spirit of God, I pray. Be with us now and presence yourself amongst us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. I'm not an enthusiastic gardener by any means, but one of the projects I took on in our garden a few years ago was to plant a little row of hedges just about the height of your knee down both sides of the lawn in our back garden. And now, a few years after I planted those little hedges, they've grown up, or at least some of them have grown up, and unfortunately, like most of my garden projects, it hasn't gone very well at all. It's been a bit of a disaster. The hedge down one side of the garden is green and healthy and very strong. I even have to trim that part of the hedge very regularly to make sure it doesn't get out of control. But somehow, the hedge on the other side of the lawn, it's the exact same plant, in the exact same garden, it couldn't look any different. In fact, it looks like something out of a TV ad for weed killer. It basically already looks dead. It's yellow, it's straggly, it's thin. I've never had to trim that hedge because it never really grows. The problem is that the soil on one side of the garden is much deeper. It's far more moisture, while the other side has very shallow and very dry soil. The results are obvious. There's a very clear difference between the hedge on one side and the hedge on the other. Now, when we come to Jeremiah 17, there's a little section of this chapter that almost sounds like it's talking about my back garden. And what I'm talking about is verses 5 to verse 8. If you read verse 5 and 6 with me, first of all, we'll look at those verses. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." That verse 5, it describes a certain type of person. It's someone who trusts in the flesh, someone who's not trusting in the Lord. And then verse 6 gives us an illustration of that man. It shows us something about what he's like. He's this dry, barren, weak little plant in the desert. But read on into verse 7. Here's the comparison. It says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." So there's a comparison being made here in those verses between two types of men. The first man trusts in the flesh, in other people, maybe even in himself. But the second man puts no confidence in those things. His trust is in the Lord. And that man, the second one, he's pictured through another type of plant. One that is everything the first one is not. This plant is well fed. It's green. It's fruitful. It's an illustration of the man who puts his trust in God. And this man, as verse 7 puts it, is a blessed man. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. What does the illustration of the tree tell us about the man who trusts the Lord? We're looking at the blessed man pictured as a tree. The blessed man pictured as a tree. So look with me at verse 8. And as we come to see that verse and read the first part of it, we see, first of all, the tree's supply. The tree's supply. The word, verse 8 opens with these words, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river." You can see immediately that this tree is in a good situation. It's been planted in the ground, and its position is right next to a river where the roots can obtain fresh water. You don't have to be Alan Titchmarsh this morning to know that that's a good thing for any plant. That's going to benefit greatly the plant because it's got a constant supply of water. Notice, though, this tree is planted by the waters. That's an important word. Significant language, planted. This isn't a random situation that this tree finds itself in. It's been set up in this position by someone. This tree didn't plant itself. It's been intentionally placed by the water for a purpose because someone put it there. It's not a wild plant. Not like that heath in the desert. It doesn't just crop up randomly as a wild plant. You see, unlike the hedges in my garden, the person who planted this tree clearly knows what's best for it. And they've put it in a position that will enable it to grow and to flourish. If that tree, as we've said in the introduction, if that tree represents the blessed man who trusts in God, well, what's the significance of that fact, that the tree's been planted in the ground? We're seeing that the blessed man is positioned by a sovereign God. Just like that tree will be well nourished and well fed because a wise person planted it by the river, so the man who trusts the Lord will be protected, blessed, and built up because an all-wise God has planted and positioned him. And so God plants his people where he wishes, in the place where they will be blessed and they will be protected. But where is that place? Where does the Lord plant his people? Well, that verse 8, it talks about the roots of that tree that spread out into the banks of the river and gather water. Hold that thought and turn with me to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. And we'll read a couple of verses here. Thinking about the position where the Lord has planted his people. And then we read Colossians 2, verse 6. It says there, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Listen to this. "Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." The Apostle Paul points out the believer is rooted in Christ. He's the root of the tree. He is the one who brings life. He's the one who brings nourishment to the Christian. Without the root, you know this, the tree would not survive. It wouldn't have any water. It would die. So too the person who's not positioned in Christ. That's the thought here. It's only by being united to Christ in his death and in his resurrection. Stephen spoke about that verse of scripture in his testimony. It's only by being united to Christ in his death and resurrection that you have life today, Christian. Without him, there's no foundation. Aside from him, there's no survival. Outside of Christ, there's only death. That's the bottom line. When we read that this tree is planted by the water, there's significance there too. As the roots of the tree spread down to the banks of the river, that tree then drinks from a rich, never-ending supply of fresh water. And because of this river, the tree will never thirst. There will never be a time when it doesn't have a supply of fresh, life-giving water. And what's the significance of that? What's the water showing us? Listen to these words of Christ. He said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The blessed man who trusts in Christ is a man who's drinking from the water that he provides. So what is it that Christ has promised to bring to his people? What's being pictured by this living water? Well, hasn't Christ promised to give his people a comforter who will be within them and who will abide with them forever? The water will fully satisfy the people of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And they won't thirst again. This water will never stop supplying them and never stop nourishing them. So too, the Holy Spirit brings help, brings comfort to the people of God without fail. Through the Spirit, Christian, this morning, you have received the grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the gift of faith and repentance. It's He who gives the gift of good works. It's the Holy Spirit who gives the ability to overcome sin. This is the water that sustains the tree. This is the water that gives that tree growth. It's God's Holy Spirit. And so if we put it all together, what have we seen? We see God in His three persons. In His wisdom, God the Father plants the tree. It's rooted into the Son who gives it life by sending nourishment and the help of the Holy Spirit who promises to be with the people of God forever. Notice how all of those things, all three of them, the water that feeds the tree, the roots that bring the water, and the perfect positioning of that tree in the ground, all of them have nothing to do with the tree itself. Nothing to do with the tree. It was placed by another. It's united to another. It's fed by a source outside of itself. This tree does nothing for itself. It didn't plant itself and it doesn't feed itself. It entirely depends on someone or something outside of itself. Think about that. What better picture could there be of a man who trusts in the Lord and who puts all his confidence in Him? He must rely on another to plant him in the ground and to feed him. He doesn't depend on himself. He doesn't depend on other people. He surrendered it all over to a sovereign God. As a result, he's blessed. This is the tree's supply. Planted by the Father, into the Son, and fed by the Spirit. As we go back to Jeremiah 17 and verse 8 again, the next part of the verse we move from seeing the tree's supply, and then we read of the tree's strength. The tree's strength in that middle part of the verse, it says, "And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green." Now, on a first reading of that little phrase, it doesn't really seem to make an awful lot of sense. I admit that was my interpretation when I first read it. I don't know of any tree that's able to see anything. And in fact, more than that, even creatures that are able to see, you and I, for example, they can't see heat. Heat is something which can only be felt. It can't be seen. So what's going on in this little part of the verse when it describes the tree that can't see when heat cometh? What does that mean? Well, the word "see" is a very broad word in terms of the Hebrew word that's translated there, and its meaning is translated in very many different ways in the Old Testament. And one sense in which it's sometimes translated is to give us the idea of perception, or of discernment, or of the ability to notice something. Think about that as we take it to the verse. That helps us to understand the thought here. This tree is so well supplied by the river that although it may find itself under extreme heat, under the intense light of the sun, the kind which would maybe kill normal plants, would at least hinder their growth, this tree doesn't even perceive the heat. This tree doesn't even notice the challenging conditions. This tree is not negatively impacted by challenging circumstances. Its leaf will be green regardless. This tree is a strong tree. And so, what does that tell us about the blessed man? What about the man who trusts the Lord? What does this mean for him? As we did with the supply of water, we can turn and hear and see the words of Jesus Christ, and he can explain to us what this picture means in his parable of the sower. And you can turn with me to Mark 4 to read some verses there. And while you're turning, I'll fill in some of the context. Mark chapter 4, we'll be reading from verse 16. But that chapter, Christ relates the parable of the sower. And one of the kinds of seed he describes in this chapter falls onto stony ground. And then when the heat came from the hot sun, that plant was scorched and it was withered because the roots weren't deep enough to feed and to strengthen the plant. Now, Christ explains the meaning of it in verse 16. Mark 4, verse 16. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That word offended simply means stumble, fall down. So the heat of the sun that's being described here in the parable is a picture of persecution. It's a picture of trial. The plant described by Christ in this chapter, it did not survive the heat because the roots were too shallow. But if we just take that teaching back with us to Jeremiah, what we see is that the blessed man won't stumble. The blessed man won't give up. He won't fall away when the time of heat, that is, the time of persecution comes. Because he's been rooted into Christ. His roots are deep, not shallow. He's been supplied with grace and with strength and with endurance by the Spirit. You'll see that Jeremiah 17 and 8, it doesn't suggest that the heat may come. It might come, it might not. It doesn't say that. It simply says when the heat comes. That's important. It's not a matter of if, but when. Didn't Peter say, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing had happened unto you." Don't be surprised when difficult times come. If you think about a Middle Eastern climate, that hot, dry season always comes. It's not a question of whether or not it will come. It always will. It's just a matter of time. And the point is that the person who is waiting and trusting in God rather than in himself is the person who won't be withered, won't be scorched by the heat of persecution. The roots run deep. The supply by the Spirit is never failing. And so the leaves remain green. Now it would be foolish of me to pretend this morning that the Christian will be totally unaffected when trials and persecutions arise. That wouldn't be very helpful for me to suggest that to you today. In fact, it would probably do more to discourage you than anything else if I suggested that. If you're here today, and no doubt there is at least one person here who is in the midst of a trial, in the midst of an affliction. This isn't to say, this application here, it's not to say that you're simply to shrug your shoulders and pretend that you're invincible in the face of difficulty. We can't do that. We're not able to do that. But the point is to remind you that although the heat comes, you are rooted in Christ and you will not wither. You will not give up. You won't turn back. The trials of this life can't rob you of eternal life. The afflictions of this life can't undo the position you have in Christ. It certainly can't cut off the supply you have by the Spirit. Because of those things, and as long as you are assured of and remember those things, you ought to have a deep, lasting joy that can't be suppressed, can't be put out. That joy, that's more than just having a giddy, shallow smile on your face every day. It's far more than that. It is real, unshakable comfort and assurance. It's perseverance. The Christian who will persevere in the time of persecution and trial is the one who has his hope and his trust in the Lord. This is the tree's strength. As we move on, the tree has supply. The tree has strength. In the last part of Jeremiah 17 and 8, we finally see the tree's success. The tree's success. Read the last part of the verse with me. It says, "And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Talking about the tree's success, what does that success look like? Well, this verse, like many other in Scripture, it illustrates that success as yielding fruit. That's a picture which I'm sure you're familiar with from Scripture. Perhaps the best known of all in Galatians 5 is the list of the fruit of the Spirit. I'll read it to you for sake of time. It says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." If you're a Christian here today, that's a list of the outward signs of grace of God in your life. Let me put it another way, perhaps more simply. Those things I've listed, those are the visible good works which show the power of God in your life. They show the power of God to transform and to change men and women. They bring glory to Him. And so the blessed man who trusts in God will have a constant production of that kind of fruit. It says the yield shall not cease. It doesn't stop and start. And that's where the other part of that Jeremiah 17 and 8 comes in. It describes the year of drought. One of the words that's used there is careful. It says shall not be careful in the year of drought. And that's another one of those words that may send you down the wrong path or a confusing path when you try to interpret the phrase. What does it mean when a tree is careful or is not careful in a year of drought? Well, that word careful, it's not really being used in the sense that you and I would normally use it of someone who's very meticulous, someone who's maybe very thorough. When we read about this tree not being careful, it's suggesting that the tree isn't burdened with cares, burdened with fears and worries and anxieties. That's what it really means here. When that time of drought comes, it won't be afraid in the time of drought. This tree will simply consistently do what it has always done. It will keep on yielding fruit. That won't change. Why? Because the tree supply hasn't been interrupted. The tree is being fed from a never-failing source. Even in the time of drought, when humanly speaking, it might be difficult to bear fruit, this tree has no such problem. It has consistent productiveness. This tree has success. If you think about a drought, we're not terribly familiar with them here in Portadown, nor are we in Ballymena, by the way, but it's a widespread calamity. If you hear about it on the news, it impacts on everyone. It's got lots of knock-on effects, not just on the livelihood of the people, the economy, so on and so forth. It leaves a lasting impression on the land, a lasting impression on the community that it visits. So naturally, if you think of plants that live in an area where there's drought, you think, well, those plants are going to suffer. They're not going to grow. They're not going to bear fruit. But this tree is fed by a river that never dries up. Although all the other sources have failed, all the other rivers, all the other streams, they've dried up. This tree has been fed by a source that cannot fail. It's the only one. And Christian, when all your other sources of strength, of satisfaction, or of success fail, that might be yourself. Might be friends, might be family, maybe even the church, fellow Christians. At one point or another, they'll all let you down. At one point or another, they'll fail. But remember, the drought does not affect this tree because it is relying on the only unchanging and unfailing source. That unfailing source is what enables the tree to be fruitful all the time. Let's turn to John 15 and 5 to see what that source is. John 15 verse 5, again, for the third time, the words of Christ illuminating the thought for us. We read there, John 15 and 5, his words, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." Christ is that constant, unchanging, unfailing source of fruit. This is an important thing for us all to remember. As we think about fruit growth, as we think about being productive in the Christian life, it doesn't come from within. You can't muster up the effort and the energy to bear fruit yourself. The fruit growth is by Jesus Christ. It's his gift to his people. And it comes as he sends his Holy Spirit to fill them with grace, to work in their hearts. That means that the fruitfulness of this tree doesn't depend on circumstances, and so neither should yours. The source is constant, and as long as the tree depends on that constant source rather than itself, well, the drought will have no impact. In the difficult, perhaps the busy periods of your life, you needn't expect to be unfruitful. To expect that is to show that you're trusting in the flesh or in circumstances. But the man who trusts in God can expect to be continually fruitful because his Lord promises to continue to provide grace even in unexpected times, the time of drought. Something else to notice from John 15 and 5, that there's no middle ground here. There's those who belong to Christ described in that verse, those who abide in him, and it says those people are guaranteed fruit. There's no doubt about them. So what about the others? Those who do not produce fruit are not his. They don't abide in him. The end of the verse says, "Without me ye can do nothing." What does that tell you? It says that those who do nothing are not his. They're without Christ. That's a jarring realization for us to just pause on for a moment. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't grow fruit. That does not exist. Christ teaches that truth here. Those who abide in him must show fruit. They must show those outward good works that prove the power of God in their lives. And if you don't have any to point to this morning, then you have to face up to the obvious question. Am I the blessed man at all? Am I united to Christ? Or am I the cursed man? That dry, barren little shrub in the desert? By your fruits, or the lack thereof, you will know the answer to that question. This is the tree's success. It's constantly fruitful because the source is unfailing. It's Christ. This morning, we've seen the blessed man pictured as a tree. We've seen the tree's supply, planted carefully by the Father, rooted into the life-giving Son, and fed by the never-ending supply of the Spirit. Then we've seen the tree's strength. The Christian who will persevere in that certain time of persecution and trial is the one who has his hope and his trust only in the Lord. Finally, the tree's success, constantly producing fruit, even in times of drought, because Christ has promised it to all who are his. As we think back in closing to that comparison made in Jeremiah 17 between the two kinds of plants, one person is cursed, the other is blessed. It's important for you to understand today, there's no point in you putting yourself into verse 8, that great picture of the strong tree, if you can't put yourself into verse 7. If you can't say today that my confidence and my hope in life and in death is in Christ the Lord. If not, you are not the blessed man. None of these benefits, none of these promises are yours if you're still trusting in self. If you're still trusting in the things that you've done or trusting in other people. Those things will not bring you blessing. They will bring you only death. You must be rooted and built up in Christ. He brings life. He brings it only to those who have their confidence and their trust in Him alone. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Let's close with prayer. Father and our God, we are struck this morning with the great blessings we have received at the hands of Almighty God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each working to bring about the redemption of men, the infilling of men, the growth and the grace experienced in the lives of the people of God. We're humbled as we think of all that you've done for us. And so, we ought to be challenged today not to trust in self, not to look to other people or look to men or to governments or to anything other than thee for our hope and our confidence, for our growth and our fruitfulness. It comes all of Christ. Fix our eyes on him. And if any don't know him, if any, like that illustration of the vine, if any are not abiding in Christ today, may they see their need. May they see themselves described this morning as that dry, barren, dead plant. Come to Christ. Draw them to Christ today. May they find that life and drink from that living water that wells up into everlasting life. Be with us now. Part us with the blessing of God. Christ's name, we pray these things.